1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I had to jump back. I know last week I preached 1 Corinthians 13, and Gordon was, you know, he had his choice. He could preach 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, or he could preach his own thing. And he preached his own thing, and it was great. But I was like, we can't not preach this passage of Scripture. So I'm jumping back, and then I'll jump forward to 14 next week, and I'm sorry about all the confusion. Anyway, I don't know that any of you guys are really paying attention to where we are, but I had to preach this text. So 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. It says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." I was in band from fifth grade until eighth grade, and then I chose to play football. But I should have stuck with band because I sat at the bench the whole time. But that's another story. Fifth grade through eighth grade, I played saxophone. My eighth grade year, I played tenor saxophone. No, baritone. I played baritone sax. And number one, I was the only one big enough to carry that huge instrument. And number two, I was first chair because I was it. So, you know, like, that was cool, right? I think, like, there was eight of us saxophone players, and I was second chair, and I don't think anybody ever practiced, and I think he just kind of threw darts at our pictures to see what chair we got. But, I mean, that was my band experience. And we weren't good. I don't know any middle school band that is the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, right? I mean, it's not, you know, it's a lot of squeaking and squawking and, you know, I mean, that kind of stuff going on. But we had a pretty good band director, and he would give us all music, and he'd say, "Okay, go home and practice this music and come back, and we'll do it together." And you would play saxophone, especially the baritone sax, which is all these, like, bass notes and stuff. So you're playing, it's like, burr, 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 burr. You're like, this is lame. And then we'd come to class. Now, mind you, it still wasn't very good. But we'd come to class, and the band director would work with the saxophone, and he'd work with the flutes, and he'd work with the, and just like all the woodwinds are all together, and then all of a sudden he just starts, says, "Okay, now everybody," and he'd lift his hands up, and he would drop his hands, and we would start playing. I was like, "Oh, that's what this is supposed to sound like." That's all really all I could think about when I was reading this chunk of scripture. We'd go home and we'd work on it. We'd come back and we would all bring our part. And all of a sudden we had music. We had a song. We had something to play. I don't know if you noticed or if you noticed at all as you've driven into church, but there are some things that have to happen for us to have church, and there are some things that have to happen for us to keep up our building. There are some things that have to happen for us to have a decent looking yard. I don't know if you noticed when you came in that our yard is not 5 feet tall of grass. Well, because somebody is cutting that grass, and we always have a mowing list, and the weeks that Heather and I mow are the weeks that somebody has to come back and fix stuff that we destroy, right? I mean, but somebody mows, and Aaron, you know, he sprays. This year was really tough. I think he came out and sprayed the parking lot for weeds like 3 or 4 times, and like it was like the next week it was like boom, weeds and green again. I don't know what that was all about, but my driveway was the same way. Somebody has to take care of the yard. Somebody has to take care of the weeds. Pam and Doug, you know, they come out. They've come out several times this summer and weed-eated, and weeded our flower beds, and Pam killed a tree, and, you know, and all that. I mean, that is what, I mean, they use their gifts and abilities. I don't know if you noticed, we have a fairly awesome praise band and a fairly awesome amount of talented musicians and singers, and they get up and they lead us every week. If we didn't have that, it would be YouTube videos of, like, I don't know, somebody else that we don't even know. How about teaching? You know, you got Paul teaching and Carol teaching, you know. They're using their gifts and their talents and their abilities. Communion is being set out, right? Carol and Donna and other people, they set out communion every week so that we can go back and take it. Offering being collected and accounted for. Our treasurer extraordinaire, Steve Peterson / Valerie, who I think does all the work. You know, all that happens on a weekly basis. So here's the most important thing for us to hear today. It's a focal point of all of chapter 12, and that's this verse, verse 7. It says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." Listen, God has given each of us a spiritual gift. And that gift is to be used to help each other. So this morning I want you to hear these two key things. If you don't get anything else, get this. Number one, if you are in Christ, you have been given a gift. And number two, it is expected that you will use that gift to help each other. Using whatever gifts God has given us to serve, that is what we are supposed to do. The people that it takes to get this church running, and all the people that I mentioned, plus many, many more, none of them hid their gift or their talent under a bushel. No, right? Nobody? Hide it in our bushel? Okay. Nobody did that. God has required all of us to serve. It's not a request, but it is rather an imperative, which is a command. You will serve if you are in me. If you are a Christian, you will serve. It is a given. So how has God gifted you? What spiritual gift has God given you to serve the body of Christ? Which one? Do you know what that is? Maybe you don't know. Maybe you have forgotten, or maybe it's been a long time since you've taken a spiritual gift test. Well, let me help you with that. In the back, on the tables back there, right as you before you leave the sanctuary, I printed out a bunch of spiritual gift tests. You can take it, fill it out this week, score it, see what your spiritual gifts are in. Now, this isn't like the whole list. These are the motive. We'll talk about that later. But basically, these are the help gifts, like the ones that everybody gets. Figure out what your spiritual gift is, and then come back and let's talk about how your gift can be used to help this body. So, they're right there. You can check them out. This one is a short one. It's 35 questions. There are some that are like 200 questions long. This one's 35 questions. You can do it in 15 minutes and call it a day, right? But there are spiritual gift tests that test for all the spiritual gifts. And this one only shows that the seven that are found in Romans chapter 12, which are prophecy, service, teaching, giving, leadership, and mercy. Now here's what happened in the people of Corinth, right? Why Paul had to write all this in the first place? Was the people of Corinth were ranking these gifts, like this one is the best, and this one is the worst, and if you have this one, you're not as good as somebody who has this gift, and don't you wish you had this gift instead of this gift, and man, you should be praying that you can get this gift. And Paul's like, you dummies. God gave this gift to you. Are you going to just look it in the face and go, nah, that's not good enough. I don't want that gift. If God gives you something, how about I suggest you use it to the best of your ability? The gifts were very contentious. And the thing is that these Corinthians, they wanted supernatural gifts, you know. They wanted the gift of tongues or the gift of a prophecy or the gifts of miracles or the gift of healing. And the people of Corinth couldn't care less about the gifts of serving or teaching or giving or mercy. They only wanted these seemingly special gifts. And can I just tell you that today in many of our churches, not much has changed. There are churches and people today that still have this all wrong. It's as if the only gifts that matter is tongues, prophecy, and healing. So last week I preached a chapter after this one, chapter 13. So if you were here or you watched online, you know what Paul is going to tell us. That the most important gift, the ones that will last forever, there's three of them. They are not tongues, not healing, not miracles, Not anything like that. No, the most important gifts, ones that everyone can have and everyone can develop, are these. What are they? Does anyone remember? Faith, hope, and the greatest of these is love. That is the most important thing that we can do. The most important thing. So what are spiritual gifts? Maybe you're not sure. Well, here's a good working definition. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. The divine ability to do ministry. And here's the deal. They are distributed by who? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit decides what gift you get. You can't force it, and you can't fake it. The Holy Spirit has given you this gift. And if you are not believer, if you are not a believer, let me just say this real quickly. If you are not a believer, you do not have a spiritual gift. Because it is the believers that get them from the Holy Spirit when they become a Christian. Now, does that mean that people don't have God-given talent? Absolutely not. Just turn on the radio, right? Listen to anybody that is singing, and maybe they don't call themselves a Christian, but you're like, oh my gosh, this voice is out of this world, or this person can play so amazingly, or this person. Yeah, God has given them some natural talent. But it doesn't become a spiritual gift until you take the plunge, till you go under the water, till you are baptized into Jesus. That's when you get spiritual gifts. How a spiritual gift is one used to edify God and the church, and is something that you receive when you give your life to Jesus. So this morning we're going to look at this passage of Scripture and some other New Testament writings about gifts to figure out what Paul wants us to know about spiritual gifts. So here's the deal. Paul wants us to, one, be informed about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1, the very first verse, it says, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. He wants us to be informed. He is saying that, one, we can be informed about spiritual gifts and we can learn about them. And while they are supernatural in nature, they are understandable. And two, when you receive the Holy Spirit and when you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Listen to 1 Peter 4:10. It says this, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So how do we get our spiritual gifts? Well, it's obvious. God gives them to us. And if God gives them to us, why do we long for someone else's gift? The church of Corinth is ranking the gifts, and they were again setting up a hierarchy as to which gifts were better. And because of that, which people were more highly regarded in the church because of some gift that they had that God had given them. And I wish we could say that we have learned from this, but we haven't. Today in our faith tradition, if you are gifted with preaching or teaching or leadership, you are placed above someone whose gift is service or encouragement or prayer. That's just flat out wrong. It's so backward. And again, in other traditions, the most esteemed gifts are the supernatural ones, right? Those people are considered real Christians if you can prophesy or speak in tongues or do miracles or perform healing, right? So you're the real Christian. And what happens? Christians argue and bicker and place someone's importance more highly than someone else's in the church. And with the most important part of verse 10, they totally miss. And it's this. Verse 10 says, use them well to serve one another. You know what's really hard? Nitpicking and complaining if you're busy serving. If you're spending your time serving, there's not much time for you to nitpick and complain about what's going on, right? You're busy. You can't worry about that. I think that maybe perhaps for some of us in our churches, the most important thing for us to do is to get busy using the gifts that God has given you and stop nitpicking and complaining about every single thing. Stop it. Not that any of us would do that. The people of Corinth were arguing about gifts. They saw the gifts for themselves. Like, oh, these gifts are for me. And we can also have that temptation as well, but I want you to understand the gifts that we have been given are for the good of the church, the good of other people, and for the good of God. And can I say a word real quick on those that have been given a gift that you don't really feel that is important? And I'm sorry if that's the way you've been made to feel, because your gift is no more less important than anybody else's. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Listen, whatever your gift is, develop it, use it, do whatever it takes to fan that into flame, and you will be honored by God. It breaks God's heart when we ignore or neglect the gift that God has given us. The Holy Spirit has given you a spiritual gift. Now use it. We are grace receivers so we can be grace givers. God wants us to treat our gifts so that we can use our gifts for others. You guys remember Matthew 25, the parable of talent, right? God, the master, calls his servants. He says, hey, I'm going on a trip. He says, hey, there's three of them. And he says, listen, to you, I'm going to give five talents, all right? 5 years worth of pay. And to you, I'm going to give you 3 years of pay, right? And to you, I'm going to give you one. And it says, so the master was gone for a long time, and then all of a sudden, one day he came back, and he called all his servants into accord and said, hey, what did you do with the talents I gave you? And the man with five talents said, oh, well, I invested them, and I used them, and I gained favor, and I invested in this, and I did this, and now 10 years worth of pay to give you back. And the other servant said, hey, I went and I put it in a bank and I collected interest on it, and I did the other half, I did some other stuff, and look, here you gave me three, here's six. And then that one guy that only one talent had been given to, he said, well, master, I know you are a shrewd and a hard man, and I knew that if I lost this money, you'd be really angry with me. So I went in my backyard and I buried it, and now here it is. All the money you gave me. And what did that master say? He said, this is what you did? You could have at least put it in a bank where it could have gotten a little bit of interest. Now, you, get out of here, take the talents that you have and give it to somebody else. Now, here's the deal. If you don't use the talents that God has given you, that God has deemed you worthy to have, then you will not only lose it, it will be taken away. Don't be that servant. Use whatever gifts that God has bestowed on you to further the kingdom of God. Number two, know there are different kinds of gifts. Chapter 12, verse 4 says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. So there are three Greek words that you use for spiritual gifts, right? They all mean different things, and they're given for different reasons. The first one is phanerosis, which is, we call those manifestation gifts. Now these are the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And God is the one that is over that through the Holy Spirit. Not everyone has these gifts. They are not possessed, like you don't own them, but they are fanned or brought upon by the Holy Spirit for a specific time. And these gifts include words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of gifts, and different kinds of tongues. And the interpretation of tongues. So here's what that means. So all these people that just keep praying, I want to be able to heal, I want to be able to speak in tongues, I want to be able to do all these crazy supernatural things. It gives you the ability to heal someone. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to prophesy. And then it's gone. And maybe He'll give it to you again, or maybe He won't. But it's up to the Holy Spirit. So this gift of healing or prophecy or whatever is not a gift that you can possess for a long period of time. And if it is, I'm not saying God doesn't work that way, but it doesn't match up with what Scripture says and teaches. Does that make sense? Number two, the second kind, is charisma. And it's a leadership gift. And not everyone has this gift either. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers." We call those people like our elders and our deacons and our preacher and like those leadership positions that are kind of up front. And the last one is the charisma, which is the grace gifts, the ones that are used for building up the body of Christ. And these are given to everyone. Romans 12, 6 through 8, "In His grace, God gave us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy," which is not telling the future, but saying, I'll talk about it in a second. It's what, telling what's going on right now. "Then do that. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach them well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly." These are the gifts that everyone gets. The two we have mentioned before, not everyone gets those, but however, everyone gets one of these. Prophecy, which is not foretelling, but it's forthtelling. It's the ability to identify truth, hold firm to truth, speak into the noise and the chaos that's out there. Does that sound like something that we need today? Is there much chaos and noise out right now in our world? Absolutely. And someone that can say, "No, this is what the Bible says. And we're going to hold firmly to that." Serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, kindness. Those abilities are lifelong and to be developed by every one of us. My favorite aunt passed away this week. I'm actually going to go tonight to her visitation. She lives in St. Louis, or she lived in St. Louis. I think she was 92 when she... Anyway. She was my favorite aunt. She was amazing. I loved her. There were some inappropriate things that she said, and she would just put it out there, and I was like, "Oh, okay." But she beat cancer 2 or 3 times, brain cancer. In the last few years, she really battled to stay above 100 pounds. She was frail. She was weak. She was in and out of the hospital, but her spirit was live and sharp and electric. And so every time over the last several years, we would go visit Aunt Ellen. You know, she'd be on a couch, you know, just kind of resting. And every time we'd come over and she'd say, "Oh, let me make you guys some supper," right? I mean, I know you guys know what that's like. And we were like, "This poor lady, she's frail. There's like 5 of us, 6 of us, you know." We're like, no trouble. We just want to say hi. But no, she would get up and she would make us sandwiches and we would sit down at her table and eat. And we were like, I feel horrible for eating this, but I'm not going to not eat it because that would be even worse. She was kind. She was encouraging. She was hospitable. And she showed her love through service. I'm going to miss her. But I want us to be like my Aunt Ellen. I want us to use the gifts that God has given us to encourage each other. Yeah, is making a bologna sandwich for me seem like a small thing? It is, but you know what that spoke to me? Was tons and tons of love and encouragement. And selflessness. Number three is that no, all spiritual gifts come from the same Spirit. In our passage this morning, the phrase "the Spirit gives" is used over and over and over again. And I want us to really hear verse 11. It says this: "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So I got a question for you this morning. Do you live, do you serve like someone that has experienced the glory that Jesus gives? Do you live and serve that way? Listen, nothing turns people off to the church, and nothing turns people off to Jesus more quickly than when they see Christians fighting with each other. They see people bickering and arguing and backbiting. And people say, "I don't want any part of that. If this is what being a Christian is about, I'm out." Anybody know what I'm talking about? One of the biggest and main reasons why God has given us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that guides us in wisdom and truth, the one that gives all of these gifts in the first place, the one that Jesus told us that it would be better if He left because the Holy Spirit was coming, a gift that was better than when He was with us. That Holy Spirit, that gift, is the same Spirit we're talking about here. And one of the biggest and main reasons why we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is that so we would have unity. One of the biggest reasons we receive spiritual gifts is so that we would be unified, that we would unify around the cross, that we would unify around the Lord's table, that we would unify around baptism, and that we would go out and win the world. How much of the world are you winning today, church? Are you bickering? Are you fighting? Are you arguing? That's not the way. The greatest of these is love. We can be of one purpose and one mission if we are just unified, if we have unity. Romans 15, 5 through 6. "May God, who gives us patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 4, 3. "Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." Ephesians 4:13, "This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." The Holy Spirit is a Spirit of unity, and His desire is for us is to promote unity and that we start seeing ourselves as a body with many parts. An arm, a foot, a toe, a mouth. This morning, how are you going, or how are you going to continue using your spiritual gifts to help unite us and help us to be Jesus' representatives here on earth? How are you going to help this body of Christ?